Title of the message, you've probably never heard one like this. It's entitled, I Get to Go to Work. Today is Sunday, a day of rest for most of us. But tomorrow morning, a lot of us will be going to work. And Scripture has something to say to us this morning about how we go to work, our attitude as we go to work. Those of you who are visiting, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And it's really been a house cleaning book. Like, it takes your life and rips it apart. And you can't be the same. The first part is about who we are in Christ. The last three chapters are how it affects our life. And it comes in and he cleans house. And he could have just said, you know, when Jesus comes in, he changes everything. And went on to the next subject. But he didn't do that. He started little by little to opening doors in our hearts. And he says, okay, I'm going to go in this room. And so what can we find in this room? And then he goes in another room. To illustrate that, I have a cup of water here. And this is dye, so I'm going to be really careful. But when Jesus comes in, Jesus changes everything in our life. It affects everything in our life. As he begins to work, things begin to change. As the Spirit of God works and goes into different rooms, it affects every area of our life. Nothing is left unturned by Jesus. Now, there are some doors that he tries to go in. I'll set this here for safety's sake, and then you can look at it. Just think about God affecting every area of your life. There are some doors that he wants to go in, and we nail shut, and we say, no way. You're not going that door. Jesus said, okay, I'll back out. But then he'll come back another time and want to go in that room and clean it out. The reality is, if we don't let him in, it'll be to our doom and destruction. As we've studied Ephesians, we've learned that he wants to get rid of the old life, the old way of doing things, of lying and hatred and anger. And he even cares about our marriages. He cares a lot about our marriages because the picture of Christ in the church. And he cares about the relationship with our children and the relationship of the children to the parents. He cares about our music. He cares about our morals. He talks a lot about sexual sins that destroy the body. This morning we're going to talk about a work life. And we've just, in Ephesians 5, second part of Ephesians 5 and beginning of 6, it talks about our home life. And the beginning, and then it goes in verses 5 through 9 in chapter 6, he talks about our work life. So there's a lot of, these two paths, this passage covers most of our lives because it affects our home life and our work life. And all of us come from a home, and all of us, most of us, have a job. And he talks about how he's going to change, make that different. How our homes are going to be different because of Jesus. How our workplace is going to be different because of Jesus. I had a conversation with two different people this week about their job. One was a lady who, company was bought out by a bigger company. And she was saying how it's been a great transition. The new company cares about the employees. They kept their vacation time, yada, yada. Just a good vibes from what she had to say about her employer. The next one I talked to, he said, they don't give a care about me. He said, I was talking about something on his truck, and he said, they don't care. That'll never get fixed. And just his whole attitude about his job and his employer was sour. It don't take long for you to talk to someone about their job, and you soon find out whether they like their job or they despise their job, or if they like their employer or if they don't like their employer. A lot of people look at work as a necessary evil. It's a way to get money. It's a way to get something that I use to buy something that I want. It's the way that we operate our society. It's part of the curse. Work is part of the curse, and if it wouldn't have been for the curse, I wouldn't have to work. Well, that's not true. In Genesis 2:15, it says, work is a gift from God. It says, the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work and keep it. So before the fall, there was work. So work is a good thing. And we're to honor God with our work. He wants us to honor him with our work and our work ethic. To use it to point people to Jesus. Use it as a platform to share Jesus. How we do our work, our attitude, how we treat others is a huge part of our witness for Christ. You stop and think about it. How you do your job, your attitude at your workplace. And children, if you're in school, I'm going to put school in here as well. You don't have a job, but you go to school. So this affects you as well. So how you do at school, how you treat your classmates, how you interact with your teachers has a lot to say about your love for Jesus. It affects so much of our life, our job does. And how we relate, how we interact is a huge testimony to others. I want you to stop and reflect this week. Reflect back over the week of your interaction with people. How you treated people, how you talked to people, how you interacted with your employer, how you interacted with your employees. Did it reflect? Was it God-honoring? Did you reflect Jesus to those around you? And Alicia, I was thinking about this as I was studying. You're going to Malaysia, and you're going to be interacting with people there. So it's a huge part of your witness is, you know, it's our mission, it's our job. She's going to a mission. We have our job, which is our mission. So how did you interact this week? Was it God-honoring? I believe our jobs are a vehicle to carry the gospel. It's a way, it's a platform to carry the gospel. Just like last week at Penn Valley, Doug Raymer talked about whoopie pies and hockey sticks and appliances as way to get the message to people about Jesus. It's a way to share Jesus. It's what we do. So I have a question for you this morning. Do you think that it's by accident that you are where you are in this season of your life, the job you are, or do you see it as a divine appointment from God to expand the kingdom of God on this earth? Do you see your job and where you are now as a divine appointment from God to share Jesus and to expand his kingdom? Reflect on that. You can open your Bibles, Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly master with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that whatever you do, whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening them, knowing that he is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Take you back to the setting again. In Ephesians, I took you back to the setting a lot, and to the audience Paul was preaching to. And in the first century, about a third to half the population were slaves. Millions were slaves. And we have no idea what they felt or what they dealt with being a slave. They were treated as worse than animals, or as animals, sometimes worse than animals. They had no legal right. A lot of times they were viewed as a commodity. The only distinction between them and animals was that a slave could talk. That's how they were viewed. One Roman statesman, Cato, said, old slaves should be thrown away on a dump. And when a slave is ill, don't give him any water. It's not worth... When a slave is ill, don't give him anything. It's not worth your money. A man named Pleo threw a slave into a pond of deadly eels because he broke a crystal goblet. Emperor Augusta crucified a slave because he accidentally killed a pet quail. Another slave owner said he loved to listen to the sound of the slaves being flogged. I don't think for a minute any of you people going to work tomorrow expect to be treated like that. We have no idea what it was like to be a slave. Now, there was good slave owners in the Roman time. Pliny the Elder was known to be a good slave owner and was well known for his graceful treatment of his slaves. But he was an exception and not the rule. So try to put yourself, we can't understand the horror that they lived in. But it was into that kind of a world that the life-changing power of the gospel that came in and changed everything that Paul was preaching, that was the audience Paul was preaching to. And some of the slaves and slaves' owners became believers. And so they were learning a new way of relating, a new way of interacting with each other. You notice Paul didn't speak out against slavery or social injustice, but he spoke into changing the heart and let that affect every area of their lives, including slavery. And it was down through history, slavery was abolished, and for the most part, because of Christian principles. Women and children were not respected, and slaves were not respected in that time as being created in God's image. And so the gospel came and to sets a new standard for relating with people. Well, slavery has been abolished, and today we have workers, supervisors, bosses, owners. That's how we think today. So as we approach this passage, look at it from that premise of our work order today. But some of the same ideologies still linger today, where owners of businesses use their employees for their own gain and profit without caring much about their employees or appreciating them. People use people for selfish gain. Not much different than slave owners back then. Look at verse 5. It says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ." As you would Christ. So, as believers, we are Christ. Christ owns us. He lives in us. And we are to honor God with our lives. So he's talking to the slaves. He said, honor God with your life as you obey your earthly master. Obey your employer as you would Christ. So employees, as you go tomorrow to work, think about obeying your employer as you would if you were talking to Jesus himself. If Jesus was your boss. Some questions I have for employees. So when someone is employing you, you have certain obligations to them. They are paying you to do a job. So how do you do your job? Do you do it with all your heart? Do you do it willingly? Do you give it all you got? Do you appreciate the job you have? Or do you feel like you're a gift to them, that they should just be happy I'm here? Like, you know, I'm one of the best employees they got. What's your attitude in your work that you do? Can you justify the wage they're paying you? Are you giving them an honest day's work with what you're doing? You may be getting, say, I'm just going to use $10 an hour, but you know the boss is charging $25 an hour. Does that make you a little unsettling? But then you realize the boss has overhead. He has taxes. He has rent. He has a lot of things other than you he has to pay for. So what's your attitude as you go to work, as you engage your employer and your job? Are you doing as unto Christ? Another question is, can you be trusted? Can the boss walk away and trust that you're going to do the job right? the first time enthusiastically and be excited about what you're doing. Colossians 3:22 through 25 is a parallel passage. It says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord will, you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there will be no partiality." So employees, you are serving the Lord Christ as you go out tomorrow to work. He is your boss. And your work you do reflects back on Jesus. As a Christian, you are known probably in the workplace as a believer. And the work you do reflects back on you as a believer and your Heavenly Father as well. Can they say, I can tell who he works for by the way he works, the way he does his job. I know he's a believer. I know who his Heavenly Father, I know who his boss is. It's Jesus. There's certain companies that have a reputation for the way they treat their customers, and one of the most familiar is Chick-fil-A, how they are very customer service friendly, how they treat you when you go up to the window, how they treat you in their restaurants. Friday, I took my neighbor to a body shop, and I told him the kind of experience he's going to get before I went. I just knew it. I knew the kind of people they were, and so I had faith that he would experience that. And so I took him, didn't say nothing to the boss. Hey, I told this guy you're going to treat him this way. But no, it was an experience like I had anticipated because of the reputation, because they are believers, and because of the way they treat their people. So as believers, we should be the best employees in the world. Like, we should be the best employees anyone has. You may work for, let's say, fence experts, but in reality, your boss is Jesus. Your boss is Jesus. So your boss is Jesus, and I subcontract my work to the fence experts. But it's Jesus who determines how I respond to my customers, how I respond to my boss. It's Jesus that calls the shots. Think about it that way. Jesus is my boss. I subcontract my work to my employer. But Jesus is the reason I do what I do and how I do it. I'm doing it for the Lord. It's how I treat my people. It's how I do my job. It's the attitude I do the job. Even in the worst situations without complaining. The worst situations without complaining. There's a room in our shop that has a septic holding tank in. I don't know why it was there, but it's there. It was there before I came. And a couple of times the float stuck that pumps the stuff out of the holding tank into another place. And I was called to the office to 2 inches of stuff on the floor. And so what do? You moan, you groan, you complain, you grumble. Did I clean it up? No. The worst situations you can do without complaining. Why? Because your boss, the Heavenly Father, gives all the grace you need. Even in the worst situations, to do it without complaining, without arguing, without quarreling. God, the Heavenly Father, your boss, gives you what you need for the moment. Some jobs take more grace than others. Some jobs, some people you work with, you say, Lord, guard my tongue, guard my actions. Just help me to be a light for you today. You probably had customers like that. Dan Gibbs in our small group, and he used to work for Martin's. Some customers are pretty hard to work for sometimes, but God will give you the grace to do a job as unto the Lord, realizing you're working for the King. you represent the King. When you go into a workplace, you represent Jesus Christ. You also represent your company as well. But that's not going to be an issue if you're working for the King and you're getting your cues from the King. You're going to be the best employee anyone can want or have. First point was our actions. The second point is our attitude, verse 6 and 7. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service of goodwill to as unto the Lord, not unto men. Not for eye service, not to just when the boss is around. You know the thing when the boss is coming and you act like you're busy. You start writing, or students. The teacher leaves the room. You start throwing papers and spitballs, and I never did that, but people around me did. But when the teacher comes back, you're diligently writing, you're doing your assignment, you know, you're just the perfect student. That's what this passage is talking about. When the boss leaves the room, are you doing your best? Or do you do work just for people to see you and how you do an act or perform? Or to get a promotion. Do you do things just to get a promotion, and then in reality you're not really that good, you just put on a front? Are you doing your best as unto the Lord? How about children, when mom tells you to sweep the room? How do you sweep the room? Do you sweep the whole room, the corners, or do you just sweep certain parts of the room and you call it good? How do you do your job? We talk about with all your heart, even those dreaded jobs. Do it as if the request came from Jesus himself. Now, I know we're sitting here in a comfortable little room this morning, and tomorrow we're going to be tested, and I'll probably be tested more than anybody with jobs. I was last week, I'll tell you a quick story. We have a trailer that we put plastic bags in. We have one-ton tote bags that we put the plastic bags in. They don't weigh that much, but we fill them up, put them in a trailer. Trailer gets full, we take it to the recycler. Well, this trailer had mice, had slime, it was horrible. And so we were all going to go one day, take all the guys and pull all these bags out, probably 100 bags in this trailer, and we were all going to do it together. But I called the guy, I said, no, I have a skid loader and I'll pull them out and you won't have to worry about it. So I take the trailer back up to the dock. He begins to try to take these bags out of the skid loader. It wasn't working. Like, I would have been there for hours. So I thought, what are you going to do? So I go in there, and I pulled one by one. I pulled these bags out. This horrible, dreaded job that we all were dreading at work. And I thought, well, I'll just go, and the skid loader will do it. I ended up doing it. And it was an attitude check. What was I going to do? Was I going to grumble and moan and groan, or was I going to do the job? Do the best, even when no one's looking. Contractor was asked to build a house for this man. He had done some work for him. He's been his contractor for a long time, and he was getting towards the end of his life. He wanted to build the house of his dreams. He asked his contractor. He said, "I want you to build me the house of my dreams." And so the contractor said, "How do you want it built?" He said, "I don't care how you build it. You build it however you want. Money's no issue. Just build it." Well, the man said, or thought to himself, you know, I can make a lot of money here. I can build a house that looks nice. By cutting corners, I can save a lot of money, and I can still charge the top dollar for this house. And so he did. He built the house. It looked great. Came for the day to take the owner into the house and show him, and they looked great on the outside, but it was not a well-built house. Took him into each room, and the guy goes, "Wow, this is just a beautiful home." And at the end of the tour, the man who the house was built for had the keys in his hand, and he said, "You know," he said, "I'm not going to be around very long." He said, "This is actually my gift for you, for all you've done for me." And he hands him the keys to the house that he cut bunch of corners on. He ended up living in the house that he built with poor quality. Do you do your job as unto the Lord? and not for men to see. You may say, well, my boss doesn't deserve it. Well, do it for the honor of the Lord. You're actually working for the Lord. And if you're working for an unbeliever, you may expect to be treated in wrong ways. You may be not be appreciated. You may be underpaid. You may be persecuted for your faith. It may be really hard to work for. But can you do it for the Lord? While you're there, till God calls you somewhere else, can you do it? Can you work for them as you would the Lord, giving your best? Because in reality, we are accountable to God for our actions. We're accountable to God for all of our actions. And it'll set you apart from the other employees, and it'll be reason for them to ask questions. Why or how can you do this? Because think about it. Paul was talking to slaves who were still slaves, and he was telling them to act in a different way with the same masters. Verse 8 is the perception. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is bond or free. So regardless of the situation, we are all equals in God's eyes. Regardless if they were bond, if they were slaves or free, in God's eyes we're equal. We're all accountable to him for our actions. There's a lot of wealthy men walking around in bondage, and there's a lot of free men. There's a lot of slaves who God called to walk around in freedom. Freedom in Christ, freedom of heart, freedom of spirit. And he was talking to a slave world, and he was calling them to be different in the midst of their current circumstances. He didn't say, slaves, I want you to take a knee and protest for the way you're being treated. No, he said, I want you to, because of what Jesus has done for you and your heart, I want you to be different, and you will respond differently. You will treat your employer differently. You will treat your fellow workers differently. You will treat your customers differently because of what Jesus has done. Paul encouraged the Christians to display the fruit of the Spirit amidst their circumstance. Even though their circumstance may not change, he was calling them to change their change of heart to be displayed to those around them. A lot of us say, well, if my circumstance at work would change, then I could be a better person. I wouldn't have to respond this way. If my boss would just treat me different. If I wouldn't have to have these hard jobs. If it wouldn't be so difficult, then I could. No. Paul was talking about changing our heart, changing our attitude, changing everything about us, because we serve the King. We work for the King. Another thing we need to remember is this job, this world is temporary, but the Lord, working for the Lord, is eternal, and the rewards will be eternal. Sometimes rewards are in this life, and sometimes we will be rewarded, but ultimately our reward is in heaven. And we shouldn't look for this world and our current job to be that fulfilling reward that we're looking for. It should be the ultimate reward from Jesus, who says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Missionary couple was coming home from Africa on a boat. The same boat that President Roosevelt was coming home from. He was in Africa on an African safari hunt. This couple was in Africa for a term of 40-year service, and they were coming home to the United States to retire. They were both on the same boat. As they were approaching the harbor at New York, this couple noticed the big entourage and the people waiting for Roosevelt to come home and show his trophies that he had shot in Africa. And the couple was kind of in their spirit to each other, complaining about, you know, there's no one here for us. We've served the Lord 40 years, and there's no one here to celebrate with us. They get off the boat. Celebration was there for President Roosevelt. The couple went to their room for the night. And as they were praying to the Lord spoke to them. Said, you know, he said, Roosevelt got his reward for his hunts in Africa, they got their reward there on the port that day. But the Lord said to them, you're not home yet. Your reward's waiting for you in heaven. That was so good for me to think about, that our reward is eternal. And we don't need to look for this life for rewards from men. That Jesus will reward us in heaven for what we have done. Verse 9 talks about bosses. And I'll be real quick here. I'm looking at an audience that has a lot of good business owners. A lot of people who own businesses and care about their employees. But it's good for us to think about how we treat our employees. And the same three points that I had for the employees of the action, the attitude, and the perception, the same three points apply to the bosses as well. It says, masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and your master in heaven, and there's no partiality among them. So the action is, masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening them. That's the action he's calling them to. You got to treat your employees differently. The attitude, knowing that both he is their master and yours is in heaven. So their master and your master is in heaven. So you guys are equal. Like, we see separation, God sees equal. We're all accountable to him for our actions. And the perception is there's no partiality with him. God's not going to look better on me because I'm a business owner than someone who's an employee. We're all accountable to him for our actions. As owners, we think of ourselves as servant leaders, as serving our customers, serving our employees, helping them, to empowering them to be leaders, to show them, show Jesus to our those we serve. And just like Jesus did, Jesus was an empowering leader. He empowered his disciples. He empowered them to go out. And with responsibility, he gave authority. And they, the church grew from 12 people. So a few questions for you business owners to think about as you think about treating your employees fairly. So the first thing is, do you pay a fair wage? Don't take advantage of your people. They're not machines, they're people. Do you have clear expectations? Are you clear on what you expect from your employees? Or are you pretty vague in what you want? Do you listen to them? Do you take time to listen, to hear their hearts, what's going on in their lives? And do you minister to your employees? You know, there's a lot of things happening in their lives that affects when they come to work. And do you care about them? Do you care about what's going on in their lives? You know, I really believe that if we would put this passage to heart as employees and employers, that there'd be no need for labor unions that came into the world, because they came in because of unfair practices. There'd be no need for labor unions. So in reality, in closing, the Christian work ethic has little to do with the job we do or how people treat us, but it has everything to do with whose we are. I have a closing thought I want you to ponder as you think about working for the King. Do you believe your current job or school situation is a divine appointment where Christ is honored by how you do your job and relate to others, and is a platform for advancing the kingdom of Christ? Let me say that again. Do you believe that your current job or school situation is a divine appointment where Christ is honored by how you do your job and relate with others, and is a platform to advance the kingdom of Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and you care so much about each of us and every part of our lives, as is evident here in Ephesians. And Lord, you leave no stone unturned. And this morning, as we think about our work and how it consumes a lot of our time, and Lord, I pray that we would see work differently. As we go out tomorrow, that we are working for you, and you determine how we treat others. Lord, may it be a way of advancing your kingdom here in Lancaster County and York County and whatever county is represented here this morning, that we would work for the King. In Jesus' name, amen.